football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Zach, by hanging out with D-Mac, got a simple question for you, Darren.
Yeah.
Do the Broncos once again have the best secondary in football? I want to throw one stat at you really quick. I don't know how much stock you put into Pro Football Focus.
A lot. I love Pro Football Focus.
Okay. So this should rub you the right way then. Okay. According to Pro Football Focus, the Denver Broncos have 3 of the top 10 rated cornerbacks in the sport. This past season, Chris Harris Jr. Ranked as number 3, Kareem Jackson at number 4, Bryce Callahan, the newest Bronco as it was announced Friday night, was the 9th best corner. So we got 3 of the top 10 rated corners in the sport. Elite defense once again, elite secondary once again.
Maybe. It's tricky though. Because first of all, I'm just off the top of my head, Zach. I don't know, you know, every other secondary in the NFL. So you're asking me a tricky question, like, is it the best in the NFL? Well, on paper it looks really good. But you also have to take in mind what they're doing at the safety position and everything else. So
let's just say it's Justin Simmons and Will Parks.
Well, the Broncos just got killed with tight ends year after year. I mean, just destroyed. Is that on the secondary? Yes? No? Maybe? I don't know. It's hard to answer. You know, they're just going into this new world of safety / linebacker, where I think Kareem Jackson works out great. Because you're going to have defenses where it's Will Parks, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, right? And then Callahan and Harris. Now, you're going to see the Broncos with it, so that's secondary, right? Well, that's going to be on the field a lot.
Sure will.
Maybe. Maybe. But teams can counter that pretty easily, though, Zach. I mean, teams can, Patriots dumped down, you know, we're hitting slot receivers. I mean, is Chris Harris moving into the slot now?
It's a good question.
Where's he going?
Because that's an interesting conversation, because that was sort of Bryce Callahan's specialty.
The slot.
It's the slot corner. And in fact, by the numbers, if my memory serves me correctly, Bryce Callahan played the second most snaps in slot coverage this past season.
All right, so he's 5'9", and he's covering who? He's covering the slot receiver? Oh, okay, guess what? Now he's covering a 6'6" tight end. now we're gonna switch out of things a little bit, because I got a midget, you know, who's little person who's over there. And, how did he do against those teams? Like when Bryce Callahan, I'd have to go through it and look at the Bears and how they did things. So, you know, who was Bryce Callahan in general matched up with, and what are they going to do? So do you mean to tell me Bryce Callahan is a better slot corner than Chris Harris? I find that hard to believe. Maybe it is the best in the NFL. That'd be cool. That'd be awesome. I think the defense for the Broncos on paper looks a lot better. I think the defensive line looks good. I think they've done what they wanted. You have some quirky questions like, you know, what's Sua Cravens doing on this team?
Ooh, he's got an uphill battle to put a helmet and shoulder pads on Sunday.
That you would think, right?
Yeah. And in fact, I think John Elway was asked about it. He's like, he's got a shot to make the team. Like,
well,
that was
for sure, because he's got 2 more years on his contract.
He's on a rookie deal too, making nothing.
You've got to be able to utilize the guys that you make commitments to. Because if you don't, Zach, you're just going to be chasing your tail left and right. So I wouldn't want them to move on from Sua Cravens, because you've already made an investment that seems to be working in the right direction. I think it's okay. We'll see. You know, everybody wants to. The problem is so many things change over the course of a season. Now, they have Pro Football Focus has that rated. Well, are they factoring in Chris Harris's injury?
Yes, they did. They said, you know, and the explanation was like, although he finished the season, not suited up, his work through 3 quarters of the season, because I think that's what it was. He missed the last 4 games.
He said, so they just assume how he was going to be in the last quarter of the season?
Yeah, I think if your sample size was appropriate enough, they stick to that grade.
Hey, here's the important thing. either they were going to have to draft it or fix it in free agency. And they fixed it in free agency. Okay, great. Like Vic Fangio said, you can never have too many cornerbacks, right? So they may even draft. I don't see him drafting a corner in the first round, but I don't know. They could draft somebody later on.
Sure they could. Sure they could. You know, with Sua, there's an interesting...
But is that what killed the Broncos last year? I mean, is this where the Broncos lost?
In part.
Really?
I mean, the secondary was pretty bad.
The games that blew apart the Broncos was the George Kittle game and the Jets running crazy.
Well, you think back to the Jets game. Robbie Anderson had two monster touchdowns over Bradley Roby's head where, you know, he made Roby look like a workout cone. So the secondary...
They had 300 yards of rushing, too.
Okay.
But they also, I mean, it was pretty much a disaster top to bottom. Nobody was
sure.
Nobody was untouched. But if you looked at those two games, the Jets game, they should have played better, right, Zach?
Sure.
And the Niners game. I mean, those and I'm going to throw something else in too. They really should have beat the Chiefs in that first game. Case Keenum, Joe Flacco hits Demaryius Thomas. They score a touchdown. They win the game. All right. So there's three W's. You throw that. That's. It's really could have easily been like a 9-7 team. I don't know if they would have got. Oh shoot! I mean, you're losing to the Raiders near the end of the year.
Yeah, well, that was embarrassing.
So I don't think it's a far stretch to say, hey, it's an 8-8 team. Can they go 10-6? And I think that's a lot more likely than to go 6-10.
10-6 more likely than 6-10.
I think so.
We happen to be on for maybe the first time today. Our 10 minutes in on the same page with that. I do agree with that because of the most important upgrade that the Broncos have made this year, and that is bringing in Joe Flacco. And I don't want to overstate. I don't want to overstate my expectations for Joe Flacco. But I'll say this: to think that Joe Flacco's best days are only behind him is fiction, and I'll tell you why next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
So you and I were just having a conversation, D-Mac. Zach by rolling with you here. You and I had a conversation, and we agreed on something, that the way that we see this roster currently constructed, the Broncos are more likely to finish 10-6 than they are 6-10. And I know for me personally, you know, the Broncos have made some really nice moves here. Gave John Elway, hey, bravo. You had about $30 million in space, and you got Juwan James, Bryce Callahan, and Kareem Jackson. Huge tip of the cap to John Elway. But the biggest upgrade, without question, year over year, is the quarterback position going from Case Keenum to Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and I'm curious to get your thoughts here, mm-hmm. when we talk about how much good football Joe Flacco has left, John Elway says prime, Joe Flacco says you're going to have to drag me out of the facility last week on Friday. We refer to this 2014 season for Flacco, that this is like, hey, if we can recapture 2014, then we're going to be all right, because that's when he was blossoming in this Gary Kubiak-style offense.
Mm-hmm.
I look at just last year. Dude played 9 games, 9 of 16, so more than half. Proper sample size, in my opinion. In 9 games, Joe Flacco was a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He was on pace to throw 4,400 yards, which would have been the highest mark of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He was also on pace to throw just 10 interceptions. That would have been the lowest mark of his career. Highest QBR since 2014, that year with Kubiak. And I'm looking at him when the Broncos played the Ravens. I'm going, huh, Joe Flacco looks like a stud still. I believe, I'm not here like pissing rainbows here and to tell you that the Broncos are going to go 11-5 and be back in the playoffs. But what I am saying is the upgrade of Case Keenum, who was coming off 1 year of success, to Joe Flacco, who's had one losing season in his time as a Raven, why can't we be optimistic about this guy, not just for this coming season, but for the next 3 years? Why not?
Yeah, I think it's a silly plan compared to what you could have done last year. But if you just want to say, hey, man, you did what you did. You got Chubb, not a quarterback. So here we are. And now we realize in the age of Elway that developing quarterbacks is a waste of time. It just is. So why bother? So fine. So under all those parameters, Joe Flacco is actually your absolute best option. Because you're not going to develop a quarterback. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to go get A.J. McCarron? Really? Really? That's your guy? You really want to go get Sean Mannion? How's he doing on free agency? Is he still out there? Is just checking, is Sean Mannion still available? Maybe. I don't know. What? People haven't run to make Sean Mannion a starting quarterback? I can't believe it. But there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, BB Bevins and developing backup quarterbacks. I mean, it's good to have a backup quarterback. If you want to have a whole strategy, you know, where hope is a strategy, you hope a guy taken later on can be your guy, then okay, fine. You know, there's been some sort of success. But what I know is that your odds are better. It's unquestionably your odds are better if you can identify a quarterback early and take him early and go from there. Joe Flacco is one of those guys. So the experience that Joe Flacco has is pretty cool. I mean, it's really cool. And his temperament on Friday, Zach, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's all right. He's been here before, sort of. You know, he's been, you know, it's the first time he's changed teams, but, you know, the dude's, you know, won in the Super Bowl, okay? Guy's been under a microscope. And by the way, he was under a microscope in the past couple of years, and things didn't go, you know, as great, but he was hurt too. So I don't discount that. Not only was he hurt during the season, but there definitely is a possibility that he was having some, you know, dings or something throughout his life. What he got was a great rest, Zach. He got a great physical rest, and he had a hard mental time. I mean, any of us would really be struggling through that kind of process. It's got to feel like a fresh start. I can only assume that his body is feeling, he's physical. He's more physical, whatever that means. And I think he probably feels great. He's coming to an awesome area, him and his basketball team, four boys, one girl.
Five under six. Mm.
His wife is a hero.
Give her a medal. I just went
Give
through
her a
it.
Medal.
Dude, I just went through it.
And imagine, and how old's your son?
He is turning 8 months here
Owen,
in just a couple
right?
days. Owen, yep.
Okay. 8 months.
Yep.
Yes, Flacco was already two-thirds of the way there.
Right.
8 months. So you're probably just thinking about it now, right?
Nope.
No? You're not thinking about it.
I think,
well, Flacco and his wife were, not only had they thought about it, they were already on their way.
That's right.
Repeatedly.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So.
And by the way, she looks great.
She looks amazing.
Huge tip of the cap.
Yeah, she's awesome. So they obviously have a tight relationship and a good bond, a lot of love, a lot of support, so, you know, a very stable way of existing. You know, Case Keenum, for whatever wacky reason, now this was insane. He bought himself like a huge house.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
Talk about betting on yourself.
I know. He bought himself a huge house. That dude should have got him a nice cozy little apartment down the Landmark next to Gary Kubiak.
Right.
And like apparently, from what I'm finding out, every single other coach and player for all the sports teams in Denver. Apparently that's the place to be, down at the Landmark there.
I'm down there a lot.
I tell you.
Place is hopping.
Okay.
It is. Got more and more down there.
Every time I turn around, there's somebody else that lives there. He should have just got a pad there. Place is sweet.
Just flip his house to Joe.
Yeah, I guess he could. I guess that would be a good deal, right?
And I'll say this, and people can sort of take this however they want, and not to interrupt, but I think it's actually a big deal that Joe Flacco is moving his whole family
out
here.
I do, too. I just need to hear it. I just need to hear that we're all coming.
Sure.
That it's not like, we'll be there later. Yeah, we're going to. It's going to happen.
McCoy. Remember Mike McCoy?
I can never forget.
He never took the family with him.
I'm sitting on the sideline, and I was pretty friendly with Mike, and he tells me about we used to talk about our kids. He tells me his daughter's, like, you know, finishing up high school. Back in San Diego. I'm like, you're not all in.
No. Nope.
No.
And that was a minor
detail.
But
that's a very common thing, though, for... Joe Flacco's kids are very, very young. You know, they're all under six.
Sure. But
it's good to know they're coming.
It is, because not everyone does that. If you don't plan on staying long, not everyone does that. Yeah. Stokely. Stokely's last stint in Baltimore. It's like, you know what, hon? this is probably a one-year thing.
Yep.
You and the kids who were young, just like Flacco's at the time, you come and it's probably a waste of time.
Right.
And the fact that
Chad Brown did a similar thing too,
and that's cool. And that's cool if that's if that's the stage that you're at, you're better off in most times. But the fact, that Joe is looking at this, that this is our future.
I think it's a good
thing. Denver. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Here we've been talking a lot about what the Broncos have done here in free agency. But what about the rest of the AFC West? Take a dive into it next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, we've talked a lot about what the Broncos have done in free agency thus far. Let's take a peek around the AFC West. By the way, and Zach by hanging out with D-Mac here. I mean, Tyreek Hill. Let's just start there for a brief second.
Yeah, how was his weekend?
Not so good.
What's new for him?
Not so good. You know, he has this charge against him. It's a charge against a minor. Apparently, it's his 3-year-old son.
Yeah,
but wound up with a broken arm.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's crazy. I just shake my head. I personally could not understand getting to a point with your own flesh and blood where he could wound up with a broken bone.
I agree. You know, when you listen to Adrian Peterson, he talked about the culture of how he grew up and getting out the switch and all that. And, you know, I can't discount the way different cultures raise kids. It's just, you know, nobody wants to bruise, hurt, break bones. I mean, it's awful. Anyway, so where does it stand? Like, what's the latest?
So it's just sort of standing pat right now that the Chiefs said that they have been made aware about the filings and are waiting for more information and sort of the law to sort of, you know, take its course here.
Okay.
But with Tyreek Hill, it's interesting because, you know, we know that same girlfriend, and apparently this happened in their home, was, you know, choked out, hit in the face when she was 8 weeks pregnant.
Same girl, huh?
Same girl. Cycle continues.
Man.
But I bring Tyreek Hill up because, you know, we talk about the Chiefs and being able to, you know, topple them within the hierarchy of the division. They just move on from Kareem Hunt and sort of put out a little precedent there that we're not standing for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious how they're going to go about, again, we don't have all the details, but how they go about this Tyreek Hill situation. And what if, and I don't know, but I'm asking, if the precedent that they set with Kareem Hunt, that this doesn't happen in Kansas City, we're not having it.
Yeah.
If that at all has a trickle-down effect to Tyreek Hill.
It should. You'd like to think it would, but video tends to be the biggest arbiter of justice. And I don't, is there video? There probably isn't video in this case. It just happened in their home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. You got to see it play out a little bit, I suppose, to see what the story is. But he was arrested, right? Was he arrested?
I believe so.
He was not arrested. Oh, okay. So he's what? It's an investigation? An investigation. Well, we'll see. You know, you got to take one step at a time. You got to wait for... this does happen, by the way. There's a charge. Well, Demaryius Thomas. You know, look at his driving case, right? It happened. You know, you heard about it. You saw the car, and you're like, wow, that looked terrible. Thank God everybody's okay. And then you didn't even think about anything. So when he was charged with a crime, it happened after an investigation was done.
Sure.
So I'm willing to be patient on this and see how it plays itself out, because there's no doubt with child endangerment, there'll be some sort of investigation. So we'll see.
And here's the other wrinkle with this. And I read this morning in the Kansas City Star that this is the second time they've investigated Tyreek Hill over a charge like this.
Yeah, well, listen, if you are the type of person who feels even at some point of your life it's okay to physically threaten or abuse a woman, you're missing something. You're missing something in your brain. You probably have some form of mental illness based upon the way you've grown up. You probably need some serious time in therapy. You need to have some sort of behavior modification. You look at the world in just a different way when you're one of these morons that decides it's okay to lay hands on a woman or a child. You just look at things differently. So to think that you're just going to go somewhere else or you're going to outgrow it, you know, is a crazy roll of the dice. Pac-Man Jones has a alcohol problem, period. Okay? Every single one of his charges was based after having some sort of intake of alcohol.
Sure.
Every single one of them. And it didn't change, Zach. He's still the same guy. So that's why, for me, I wouldn't touch these guys with a 10-foot pole, the Joe Mixons of the world. This A.J. Johnson guy who's on the Broncos, to me, is disgusting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have anything to do with that guy.
Details of that one kind of make your stomach turn.
So this is an easy choice for me. If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, this is a piece of cake for me. I cut him. There's no hesitation for me.
Well, the contrast of the timing with the Tyreek Hill situation is fascinating because we know the talk out of Kansas City was they were about to give him this contract that was going to rewrite, you know, the new bar. It's going to be this monster wide receiver deal. And now they have this on their plate. And how they move forward,
they're going to keep him, Zach.
It's going to be fascinating.
This is what NFL teams do. I mean, I'm laughing at the Browns saying, oh, we're going to make Kareem Hunt into like a better person. And he's going to have an 8-game suspension and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Oh, all right. I guess. I mean, you're just condoning his behavior is all you're doing.
Well, to me, and I know you enter a slippery slope when you start talking about things the way that I'm about to, because you establish a degrees of like badness, for lack of a better term, that like Tyreek Hill, to me, in my eyes, just talking like an everyday Joe, the couple things that Tyreek Hill has done, he is in a different class than Kareem Hunt. Worse class.
Yeah, it's all degrees of terrible,
Kansas City decided to, one strike, move on from Kareem Hunt.
I'll tell you what needs to happen, too, where it makes sense. There needs to be more female owners or female influence in ownership, period, in the NFL. So there's a more balanced view on what is going on. You just cannot have the same group of old white guys rule everything, seeing things the same way, making exceptions for each other. This is why the Robert Kraft thing is just so disgusting, and he should be thrown out on his butt as an owner of the team. And frankly, there should be significant consideration of throwing the Kraft family out completely. Because I think if there was a smart, intelligent, qualified, and capable female owner, and there's no reason there couldn't be, then you just wouldn't have. There would be no debate with these things. There's no. This would just be the integrity, the legacy of your organization, and you wouldn't touch these guys, and you wouldn't get into this problem in the first place. Is Tyreek Hill unbelievably talented? Sure. But at what cost? So forget it. This is an easy decision on mine. And I wouldn't bring these type of guys into the Broncos under any set of circumstances.
But we always need to make the distinction. What would you do to what would John do? And with Tyreek Hill, we can say what we want. Would John not want to touch Tyreek Hill with a 10-foot pole? I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, they've made a lot of other allowances, unfortunately, and that's something that, sadly, the Broncos don't have a... I wish they had a better track record, because I think some of the decisions over time would have been easy, but you have to be consistent in your own department, and when you can't police your own personnel department, then what do you expect to happen on the field? And when you don't have any owner to sort of, you know, make you accountable for those things, then, you know, it's a, you know, whatever.
We are talking about a very delicate but fascinating conversation as it relates specifically to the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you why next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You know, D-Mac, we were talking about the Tyreek Hill situation. What's going to happen next? What's next for him? What's next for Kansas City and their decision making? Let me just ask you a simple question.
All right.
Would you be cool if the Broncos, now I'm painting this fictitious picture. I'm not saying that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But say it's the exact same scenario as Kareem Hunt. And the Chiefs say, we're going to put our foot down. Mm-hmm. And we're going to check our moral compass at the same time as we weigh football in it. And we just can't condone it. As a franchise, we're above it. And we're going to move on from Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
Would you, as a Broncos fan, be cool with the Broncos going after a guy like Tyreek Hill?
No, of course not. Me? No. Well, the Broncos? I don't know. But I wouldn't want anything to do with him. He's a great player, and he's a great athletic talent. There's other great players and great athletic talents. You don't have to be desperate. And picking up Kareem Hunt is definitely desperate. And picking up Tyreek Hill would definitely be desperate. You just don't have to do it. There's great athletes coming out of the college system year after year after year. You don't have to be desperate.
Well,
you don't. You can win without being desperate.
Well, I'll give you some pushback on that. I don't believe there's kids coming out of college that are like Tyreek Hill. And I don't think there's kids coming out of a college that are like Kareem Hunt. They can walk in the NFL, lead the league in rushing. What? From Jump Street.
Well, somebody's going to lead the league in rushing.
Sure. Could be a host of different guys. Like,
it's running backs. They fall off the truck. They're all there's so many running backs out there. It's ridiculous. 5'10", 225, great athletes, good for 3 or 4 years. Then you get the next one.
Well, you know, I think that you're underselling the value of a guy like Kareem Hunt to the Chiefs specifically. They were a different football team without him. They lost a bit of their, you know, I equated.
Dude, they went to the AFC Championship game and barely lost.
Okay.
If the overtime rules weren't so stupid, they probably would have won.
Okay. What I'm saying is that, like, yeah, you bring up Dee Ford, you know, they're one, you know, brain hiccup away from winning regardless.
Right. Right.
But they didn't quite look the same without Kareem Hunt. They were missing some of that. You know, what the Golden State Warriors rely on Draymond Green to bring. Stuff that's, like, not quite as measurable. Kareem Hunt brings that to the equation. I would have loved Kareem Hunt here in Denver.
After the kicking thing?
After the kicking
thing. Yeah, pass.
Well,
pass on that.
And I'm saying, and I should clarify, because I'm not representing myself the right way when I say it like that. If I'm running the Broncos, I'm not making the move. But knowing the established precedent that has been set by the Broncos, mm-hmm. if they did it, if they had made that move, I wouldn't have batted an eye, D-Mac.
Well, I wouldn't have batted an eye. John Elway makes, you know, if John Elway picks up a guy like Kareem Hunt, I mean, he's the same guy who picked up Pac-Man Jones, who picked up A.J. Johnson. We kept Aqib Talib for a while. I mean, he's the same guy who's done that.
I mean, think about the response after the Aqib Talib.
I just wouldn't do it, though.
Aqib Talib had a loaded weapon on him.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
Shot himself. They made him captain 6 months later.
It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I could not believe it when I saw it happen. And then I see Roger Goodell, who was hosting like a town hall meeting during training camp 1 year. And there's Roger Goodell like hugging up Aqib Talib. What do you want me to say? But it's Dallas. It's a concealed carry is legal. I don't know if that was the case with Aqib Talib. So, you know, it's a different set of circumstances. Plaxico Burress, you know, gun went off in a club. He went to jail for a good chunk of time. Aqib Talib, I don't know, nothing. Different world, man. Different places.
It is, and I think in New York to show you the contrast of the different worlds. I want to say that the minimum sentence is 2 years, and Plaxico did that time.
Yeah.
Like you can't debate it. It's a hard and fast rule.
Guns are tricky. Guns are tricky because you got to dig into what's legal and what's not legal, and you've got to respect the laws of the areas that that you are. And it did happen in the off season for Aqib. I just the optics of it were terrible. I think we've got way too much violence in general. So, but if he didn't break the law, he didn't break the law. I'm not going to say, for example, I'm not sitting here saying you shouldn't have concealed carry permits. We live in the state of Colorado. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons in certain parts of this state to have concealed carry. There's a lot of parts of the state where that would be ridiculous and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, that's a whole wacky different topic. You know, you can't win. I've heard the whole thing. You can't win with choir boys, right? Can't win with choir boys. I don't know if you have to be a choir boy you know, rather than just be a, you know, somebody who puts the team ahead of themselves in everything they do. Okay? So how about that for a way to operate? Instead of if you're a good guy or you're a bad guy, I mean, are you going to be part of whatever the overall vision of this team is? Now, what's critically important, Zach, you got to have a vision. You got to have some sort of thing for people to buy into. And, you know, I think that's been lacking over the years. I think the vision has been cloudy. And so I love death by inches. Give me a bumper sticker mentality. Give me something we can all sort of embrace. Death by, I love it. Death by inches. Where's the t-shirt? Right? Like, that's it. Death by inches. Is what you're doing death by inches or is it not? Period. So if we can live by that, then I don't know. I would say shooting yourself stoned and high is death by inches.
Sure.
So, see ya.
And you want to know what? We talk about bumper sticker mentality. I've heard you say that, and I know the Falcons sort of lived by it a couple years ago.
Dan Quinn at the Super Bowl said it's their whole key to success.
It's their whole key, right? You want to know what, situations that type of language works in? Situations that win. Winning football games. Vance Joseph tried to bring a bumper sticker mentality to the Broncos, where he was going to assign a word or a phrase to every quarter of the football season. And the first one, and this was great, the first one, truth. Remember that? They did make t-shirts.
Sure.
It just said truth.
Right.
What did that mean? Well, we got to be real with you. That the tape doesn't lie. That what happens on that football field is our compass. Truth. And the second quarter of the season, after the Broncos were 3-1 and it was all like fist pumps, the second phrase of that season, 2017, was do more. Do more. Whatever we are doing, we can push it. Another hour of film, another extra rep in practice. Do more. You know what the third phrase of the season was? There was none. Because the Broncos couldn't win a game. And when you can't win football games, that bumper sticker mentality, it really doesn't matter what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, like the death by inches, that's more of like a lifestyle that you would hope that would be like adopted organizationally, that we're not going to let things slip. But DMAC, at the end of the day, more than a phrase, more than bumper sticker mentality, we just got to win some freaking football games. And the death by inches, hopefully it contributes to that. Hopefully that's sort of mindset. But I think,
Zach, if you're not playing for something bigger than yourself, collectively, you're going to lose. You're not going to win football games, period. You're going to have too many selfish guys making too many selfish plays. The end. So until you can identify what you're doing and why you're doing it and how we're going to go about it and stick to that day after day after day, forget it. Vance Joseph was such a bad coach. How about this for a barometer? If in your history as a human being, you treat women poorly or borderline criminally, you're out. You're not getting in the front door. How about just start with that checklist? So if somewhere in your past, you have a character flaw where you have treated women in a extremely poor fashion.
Are you thinking about Vance when you're saying this?
Oh, yeah. He should have been fired the day after he was hired. As soon as the details came out in the Boulder Daily Camera, he should have been canned. And it's a total embarrassment for the Broncos that they didn't know all the details. They knew some, but they didn't know all the details. And I absolutely positively, when that came out, I didn't know all the details. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I know for a fact, Vance Joseph's previous employer didn't know all the details. But once you find out those details, the end. There is something wrong with you. I don't know. Maybe you're okay to be an assistant.
DMAC, the Broncos have shown us. The Broncos have shown us that it's football first.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's why I gave the Broncos an A. And we can kind of grade out free agency here in just a little bit.
Sure.
But I really like Vic Fangio. I mean, he's a first-time coach. And I love the fact that the guy's still in a hotel. I love the fact when I hear he's just like bumping around all the offices in Dove Valley all the time. I love the fact that this guy is just so focused on football. It makes me feel good. Like, he's a guy that I can easily get behind and support. And then there's Ed Donatell, who's this is his third time through the Broncos organization.
That's right.
And I love Scangarello's story. I love the fact this guy felt so passionately about what to learn. He went and slept on a couch or whatever for a year to learn under Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta.
Yep.
There's nothing. So far, so good. Because we haven't heard some sort of horror story about what miscreants they were back in college. Not one of these guys are we hearing that sort of. So it's going to be easy for them to set a high bar for the players because they haven't had to move the bar for themselves.
I love that. I love that. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of bar moving in the last, call it, 8 years.
Yeah, so I've flushed it. It was people's, you know, I'm through with it. It's changed. I like Emmanuel Sanders. I like this coaching staff. I like free agency.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Kind of. You know, it feels to me from this time last year, especially 2 years ago, when the terrible details about Vance Joseph came out, it feels just like it's so refreshing. It's such an easier team to root for. It's just, it feels, I feel like my team is back. My team, Zach, when I was in third grade in Mrs. Stanko's class in Steamboat Springs in 78, and all I wanted for Christmas was an Orange Crush t-shirt, and I became a fan of the Denver Broncos. I feel that happening again.
We're talking about the AFC West. This is Mark Schlereth. Where do the Broncos rank among their neighbors in division?